Presence of God, Pastor Jim. What do you think about that river?
I enjoy swimming in it.
For those of you maybe have wondered, why do we have that entry song on all the time? This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, is right here beside me in the studio today, and I welcome you. I've been in the studio a lot lately by myself, you know,
yeah.
So I really like this. And why do we play that song, Pastor Jim?
Well, because we believe in the anointing.
Amen.
We've seen the anointing work.
What is the anointing for some that might be listening today that have no clue what that word means?
The anointing is the presence of God.
Amen. Woo, God's presence in our lives.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, Pastor Jim, but I'm still flying high from this morning at Beacon of Hope. What about you?
We had a wonderful service.
Woo! Bill, you should have been there, Engineer Bill. You should have been at Beacon of Hope in Clearwater today.
What went down?
Oh, my. Mighty move of God's Spirit. People set free from a lot of things. It was just a day to remember. It was a powerful, powerful anointing, almost a full house. It was a really good day at Beacon of Hope.
What was the total body count?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't do that.
I always thought that fascinating, you know,
when
the pamphlet that you get at the front door.
Right.
You look at that inside and find how many the attendance from last week.
No, we don't do that at Beacon of Hope. And guess what? I don't even have a watch on, which was an accident today. And, you know, so I threatened them that I would just preach till I got done, which would have been, we would still be there right now because I don't get done very quickly, you know. So, but the bottom line is we had a wonderful time and wish you could have been with us. And those of you out there listening who don't have a home church in the Clearwater, Tampa Bay area.
I need to come. I'm sorry.
I know you do, Pastor. Oh. At least you know you do, see? And there's maybe some others listening that are going, yeah, I needed to get myself up and get to church today. They are welcome. You are welcome, Bill. And we start at 11 o'clock. That's so people can sleep in a little, Pastor Jim.
Just a smidge.
What about anniversary and a book?
Oh, boy, I tell you what. Anniversary is 2 weeks from today. We'll talk about the book later. But anniversary is, wait a minute, are you ready, Bill? All right, it's going to be our 200th. Radio show. Woo! I love it. Look at all those people here in the radio station that are applauding. Wow. I think it's canned applause, but that's all right. 200th radio show is 2 weeks from today, Pastor Jim. You and I will be here along with a bunch of our radio team.
Mm-hmm.
And Deb and Alice, our dear radio team, parts of our radio team, are flying in from Houston for this big event. Possibly Marla from the East Coast and some others. And it's just going to be a great, great time. You know, I'm excited. That's 2 weeks from today, 200th radio show, which means this must be number 198.
Yeah.
It must be, right? So we are so glad all of you have joined us. We had such a wonderful day in church, like I just mentioned. The anointing of God was so strong, and it still is. You better buckle your seatbelt or don't buckle your seatbelt, because you're going to really learn some things today, and you are going to go up a notch as far as not just your knowledge, but the anointing of God in your life to break the bondages of debt and distress and discontent that come from the devil where our finances are concerned.
Right.
Today's going to be a day to break free into what God has for you financially. Wow. So let's pray. Pastor Jim, would you pray?
Father, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you, first of all, for this ministry where we can have an outreach, not just locally, but globally through the internet. Father, we do ask that you would just touch people's lives today, that what is said here would reach deep into people's lives, Father, and that people could be delivered. People could be set free, because, Father, we know that you want us to be free, that's the whole purpose that Jesus came, was to free us from our sins, to free us from our sicknesses, to give us a new life. And we ask you, Lord, just to show forth that new life this day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Jim, I called the assisted living where my mother lives, and because she just keeps telling me, remind me on Sunday afternoon. So, Mom, this first song is for you because it was my dad's favorite song, and it is Through It All by Sela. And listen to the words of this song, and I think it's going to bless you so much today, because no matter what you are going through, God is right there with you, even in your financial situation, which we're going to talk about today, Through It All.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation, that my trials only come to make me strong.
I've been a lot of places and I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I've felt so all alone. Let me know I was his own.
To depend upon his word. And that is what it's all about.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen.
Wow.
There's your sermon.
There it is, right there. I've learned to depend upon his word. If I never had a problem, I'd never know he could solve it. Pastor Jim, so often we as Christians bellyache and bellyache about our problems instead of realizing that our problems are working for us. And we're going to talk about that sometime today during this two-hour show. If you've just tuned in, it's time to call a friend and invite them to tune in to Beacon of Hope's Living the Good Life. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can also catch us on the internet, and that is tantalk1340.com. We're actually on the homepage there now, Bill, which is kind of cool. Tantalk1340.com. So you, and just push the listen button, and you can listen anywhere in the globe, on the globe. The other thing is that now, every Monday, our shows are on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. What do you think about that, Pastor Jim?
I think that's great.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
that's thanks to Engineer Bill. He's the one that has arranged all that. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
He emails me the show right after, and then...
And it's just amazing. I mean,
technology.
Technology is great.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, it also, if you know, if you don't get a chance to hear the show live,
right.
maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you
right.
can't go back to sleep. Well, you can always listen to the show in the middle of the night then.
Exactly.
Or, you know, the following day or whenever you have time.
Right.
But it's just such a freedom then to be
right.
able to sit down when you have time. You can listen to it. You can listen to it again. You know,
it just makes this ministry so vital, you know, in people's mm-hmm. lives. And, you know, we've been hearing from more and more listeners and more people. And that's exciting that we know that the word is getting out
yeah.
there. And so we're excited about what God's going to do today on this show. And you're going to learn that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and that's kind of our theme today. And Pastor Jim has email up. You can email us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Comes directly to the computer here. And we want to hear your comments. We want you to, if you have a question or if you say, man, I don't get that, or what does that have to do with that or whatever, or if you just want to say, hi, you guys look cute, you can do that too.
Of course we look cute.
Of course. We're red and green today, Pastor Jim. You would think this is a Christmas show.
You would think. Well,
I know. Oh, and Bill is blue. Yes, he's blue. So that's cool. And he's eating cookies, too, and he did not share. And that's really, really upsetting.
No, this is a vegetable pack from Publix.
Oh, a vegetable pack. All right.
Publix should be on Living the Good Life.
Yes, they should. Yes.
Because living the good life is pleasure.
It is. And it is vegetables. That's right. Okay. So we're so glad you've joined us today. Get your Bible and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And if you were in our service this morning at Beacon of Hope, don't turn the radio show off. It's going to be very different than what you heard this morning. But we're going to start with a concept that I did talk about this morning. And that is 1 Samuel 22. And this is the story of David. This is part of his story. Pastor Jim, David had quite a life, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And God says in 1 Samuel, I think it's about chapter 16, 15, that David was a man after God's own heart. Why do you think that God says that about David?
Well, even though David failed, and
yeah.
he did, we know, I mean, we read in the Bible, and David failed miserably on
right.
a couple of occasions, but he didn't let that stop him. He trusted in God.
Exactly.
And believed in the mercy of God that, yeah, I mean, think of the example where he committed adultery with Bathsheba.
Right.
That could have been his undoing.
Right.
And God could have just wipe David off the face of the earth. And under the old covenant,
right.
David stood to be stoned because
yes.
he and Bathsheba had committed adultery. The two of them, by the law, should have been taken out and stoned. But David believed that God would forgive him. And of
yes.
course, God did. God had
yes.
to smack him upside the head to get him to realize this. Of
right.
course, through
but
the prophet,
he did forgive.
Through the prophet Nathan. And yes, he did forgive him. And David went on. I mean, that's I think one of the biggest things I admire about David is he went on.
Exactly.
He left it behind, and it's a stirring story. So, you know, read that whole story about David and Bathsheba and the birth of Solomon.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I mean, it's a very stirring story.
Right.
But also that time when David, before he was king, when he was just before Saul and Jonathan were killed, it says David contemplated suicide, basically,
right.
because he just was at the end of his rope, and yet it says, the Bible says, he strengthened himself in God.
Oh, amen. I love that story in 1 Samuel 30 where he said that. If you want to know where Pastor Jim was referring to, it's really the book of 2 Samuel that you can read about that story and so forth about Bathsheba. But I think one of the points you just made is that David trusted God. Okay. And the song we just played, you know, that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're talking about financial prosperity here in the month of January. We have been seeing mighty moves of God financially in people's lives. We're seeing people believing God for new jobs or a better
right.
job. We're seeing people believing God that they come out of debt, that they handle their finances better. This show will encourage you financially because it will teach you and it will also encourage you and prod you to believe God for the miracles financially that you may need in your life. And there's so many of us, and I say us, and I'm going to include myself, that in many times we have spoken the negative, Pastor Jim. We have been in a bad, funky place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? One of those yucky places, as Pastor Michelle likes to say, Icky Island.
Yep.
And we have landed there, and we have spoken negativity, like, I don't know, God, how you're ever going to get me out of this mess this time. Or, God, I don't know how you're going to provide for my rent this month.
Right.
Or, God, I don't know. I just don't see it. And so I am in a pit of discouragement. And, God, I'm a mess. I'm in poverty. And we have confessed and spoken negative things, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
We have. We all have, right? And then we have gotten a hold of the truth of the Word of God that says that out of your mouth comes really where your heart is, right? Yeah. Do you want to amplify on that a minute?
Well, you know, in fact, we'll just turn over there to Matthew chapter 14.
Yeah, Matthew 14.
And, well, look, I was almost there.
How about that?
Yeah. But, you know, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees jumped on him because they were saying, oh, the disciples ate with unwashed hands. And that may be in actually 15. Yeah, in chapter 15.
Okay.
And Jesus says it's not what goes into you. It's what comes out of you.
Right.
You know, it's what comes out of you that defiles you. He also says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's whatever's inside.
What's in your heart?
So you put the Word of God in, and the Word of God will come out. Confessing the Word of God is the best thing that you can possibly do.
Exactly.
Because you're right. You know, Proverbs says life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
You can speak life to yourself, or you can speak death.
Exactly.
You know, that's up to you. And I personally would prefer to speak life. But I think so many of us, we don't realize the power in our words.
And it's all through the book of Proverbs, you know, which was written mostly by David's son, Solomon. And Solomon understood that there was life and death in the power of the tongue. There was that kind of power in our tongue. And it's just so, we just need to get it down on the inside of us that we create a lot of our prosperity by what comes out of our mouth.
Right.
Because we can make it worse, our situation. We can dig a hole, a rut. You know, it reminds me of when we used to live up north. Pastor Jim and I both went to the same university, Ball State University. Didn't know each other then. Of course, I was a little older, so I graduated before he did. But you remember the snow in Muncie, Indiana? Do you remember the snow? Do you remember? I remember the winter of 77, 78. It was a blizzard. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I just had a baby. My youngest, Mark, was born Christmas Eve of 77. So for the whole month of January, we had blizzard time, big time. And I got stuck in my driveway 14 times that month.
I was working over at Washington Square Mall in Indianapolis.
Where were you? Okay. Some of our Indiana friends are listening right now.
At the old age, when it was 18.
What year was Lori born?
Lori was born in 76. So I had Lori in 76, January, Mark in at December of 77. And their brother Ryan in 73. So.
And you just said something about 78, right?
Well, 78 was the blizzard. Mark was 3 weeks old when that blizzard hit Indiana. Boy, Bill, it was horrible. We had 15, 16 feet of snow up over my house. I couldn't even get out. And my husband was an emergency room doctor at the hospital, and he was stuck there for days, like 4 or 5 days. Finally, the National Guard brought him home on a tank. It was that bad, you know, kind of.
I was living in Ohio at the time, so it may have came through there. I remember around that time. I was 9.
Okay. All right. So I brought all that up. You were very young. I brought all that up to say that I remember digging out of the snow. And if you didn't do it just right, you spin your wheels and you just dig. Mm-hmm. You go deeper and deeper into a rut. And then, and I'm not kidding, that month I got stuck in my own driveway 14 times. It became a neighborhood joke. Seriously. Had one of those big, long vans, and so it didn't have any traction in the back. So I kept getting stuck. Okay. Financially, that's going to be a metaphor right now for what happens to us financially. Pastor Jim, you want to take that and run with it? And you know we don't rehearse this, so he has no clue where I'm going with this.
Nope.
But I think you have a general idea, don't you?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we can talk ourselves into a rut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to amount to anything. I hate my job. I really don't like my work. I'm never going to get out of debt. It's just too much. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that.
Right.
And we're just spinning our wheels and digging ourselves in deeper and deeper. And what happens is, because I've been there.
Right.
And you start to act how you talk.
Exactly.
And, yeah, it may even be subconsciously, but you're going to start putting yourself in more debt. You're going to sabotage ways that you could get out of debt.
Right.
I've been there. I've done that. What has to happen, I honestly believe, is just searching out God's word. Because,
yes.
I mean, you've given all the promises, and I bet we run through most of them today.
We will.
But God wants us to prosper, and not just financially. I want to make that very plain.
Yes, you know, amen. Make that point.
We're just not talking money here.
I mean,
that's part of it. That's very plainly part of it. But God wants you healthy.
Yes.
He wants you wise.
Amen.
He wants you knowledgeable.
He wants you emotionally healed.
He wants you to be healed emotionally.
Yes.
He wants you to be walking in victory.
Amen.
The word, I know one of the scriptures that we quote is that God delights in the prosperity of his people. The word there, he delights in the shalom of his people.
Ooh.
Because some translations will say the peace, the goodness of his people. But the concept of shalom is not just hello, goodbye, or peace. It's all around wholeness.
Wholeness, exactly.
And that's God's ultimate goal. He wants us whole.
Amen.
And if we continue to talk brokenness to ourselves, which is what so many of us do. I've been guilty of it. You know, we speak the brokenness to ourselves.
We feel sorry for ourselves. We have a pity party. Nobody wants to come and celebrate with us, you know.
Or I'm never gonna be delivered.
Right.
I can't see my way out of this. Well,
I'm broke.
There's somebody who's already been there, come and gone, is coming back for you, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
And I think I've mentioned it on here before, one of those posters from way back when we were in college.
Yes.
One of those Jesus freak posters. I remember they were those long and narrow ones.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the top was a picture. I remember this one was so good. It's, I'm afraid of tomorrow. And at the bottom, there's like a little hill with a cross. And it says, I've already been there.
Oh, wow. Praise God.
You know, that's what we need to remember. God, you said it before. God wants the best for us.
Yes.
And he knows what's going to happen. What we need to do is start lining up what we believe and what we then say.
That's right.
With
the word of God.
With the word of God.
Amen. So that brings me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. Because David was running from King Saul, who tried to kill him 21 times. Now that's pretty bad, Bill. 21 times is a whole lot of chasing and running around the hillside of Israel. Okay? I mean, that's pretty bad. So now David is trying to hide out again, and he finds a new cave, and it's 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers, his biological earthly brothers, and others associated with his family heard where he was, they came down and joined him. I find that really cool that his family stood beside him. And I've got that kind of family, and I praise God for that, you know. And then it says that not only that, he made provision for his mother and father, which is really cool, too. That his mother and father, he found a king nearby who was friendly, and he said, would you take my mother and father in? Well, Saul chases me around the desert. And the king said, yeah, I'll take your mother and father. So isn't that cool that David provided for them, you know?
I have it in here in a footnote. It's cool because he went to the king of Moab.
Yes.
Who happened to, and you remember, David's great-grandmother was Ruth the Moabitess.
That's exactly right.
She was from Moab.
She was his great-grandmother. So he goes to the king of Moab and he says, can I leave Jesse and, I forget his mother's name, it's something like Natasha, but it's not that. No. It's something close. He says, can I leave mom and dad with you? And the king says, yes, I'll protect them. And that's what happened. So what did David do? He went back to the cave. Now, in the cave also came there in 1 Samuel 22, about verse 2. It says, and I've got it here in my NIV because I love the way it says it here in the NIV. And it says, all those who were, I'm in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 22, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented, three categories. They all begin with D. I find this is interesting and easy to remember. All those who were in distress or in debt or were discontented gathered around David, and he became their leader, about 400 of them. Now, what is interesting is if we go over one book, so let's do that. Let's go over to 2 Samuel, and let's also pick the same chapter. I find that fascinating. 2 Samuel 22. And you all know out there that Pastor Jim and I just love to study these scriptures and see how they all hook together and come together. When we go over one book to 2 Samuel chapter 22, we were just in 1 Samuel 22, we see that a whole lot has happened in that book. About how many years do you think transpired in there, Pastor Jim? I don't know.
About almost. Well, probably about 33, because
33.
David was
okay.
King of Judah for 7 years.
7 years.
And then over all of Israel for 33 more. So
okay.
Somewhere 33, 40 years.
Okay.
Because this is toward the end of David's life.
This is towards,
life.
Well, it's right at the end of his life.
Yeah.
You're right. So, okay, during those 30, 40 years, now I don't know about you, but I know about me, and I'm just a tad bit older than 40, maybe 42 or something. Or that's a lie, Bill. Just quit laughing in there. Okay. Anyway, during the span in our lifetime, let's say a span of 30 or 40 years in our lifetime, a lot of us are either made or we break, you know, and I'm not saying it's an if or it's just one thing or another,
right.
But we set the course of our life. We set the course of our life by the words of our mouth.
James chapter 3.
Absolutely. What comes out of our mouth becomes the rudder of our boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So often we set the course of our life for debt, discontent, and distress. Those three D's. Those mm-hmm. are the 400 men that came and surrounded David. Now they came and surrounded David because David was the man of God and they saw God in him. They did not gravitate to somebody who would pull them down even further in life. Right?
Right. They were looking for... They came to David, scripture says, because he was a leader.
Amen.
But, you know, they weren't looking for somebody to keep them down. They were looking for somebody to help lift them up.
Absolutely. I don't know about you.
I feel a song coming on.
I know a song's coming on.
You know.
And by the way, if our dear friend Rosemary is listening in Dunedin, Rosemary, we are going to play that special song, your favorite one, towards the end of the show. So hang with us. And it does go right along with this that mm-hmm. we're talking about.
Exactly. And, you know, they followed David. And if you read, especially the parallels in the books of Chronicles,
right?
First Chronicles about David, he talks about, they list all those mighty men. Because the 400 discontented, debt-ridden, distressed men became David's mighty men. They're called David's mighty men.
That's an applause. We need that applause, Bill, right there. They became David's mighty men. Isn't that cool? Thank you. Thank you. That's that studio group there.
And if you listen to their exploits.
Right.
You know, if you read what they did, it's amazing.
I know. I got to teach on that soon.
I know. From these discontented, debt-ridden,
yes.
distressed men
right.
came these great warriors.
So are you saying, Pastor Jim, that they, all these people that had been dwelling in negativity in their lives, surrounded David because they saw light, the light of God in David. They knew he was a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
They went to surround him and to be there with him. And from him, that light of God rubbed off on them.
Right.
And I think David had some Holy Ghost camp meeting type Bible teaching services in the caves where they hung out, because these men were transformed
right.
from debt, distress, and discontent to mighty men of God
right.
over here in the space of 30 or 40 years. And they stuck with David. There was loyalty and commitment.
And remember, too, I mean, what happened to David later
yes.
is his, because of... you know, because of some of his sins. I mean, and we have to realize God will forgive our sins, but sometimes there's going to be consequences.
Consequences,
and with
yeah.
David, there was all sorts of consequences, one of which was his son Absalom rebelled against him.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, those mighty men still stuck with David.
They did.
You know, I think some might have followed Absalom, but I don't think it was very many.
Yeah, no.
But that's true. I mean, they were loyal to David. And
they saw God in him, yes. You know. They saw that he was a mighty valor, you know, a man of valor, mm-hmm. a man of courage, a man of strength. But especially the scripture says he was a man that loved God.
Right.
And you see this all through the Psalms because David wrote so many of the Psalms. And Psalm 18 is one that starts out, David wrote it, I love thee, O God, my strength, you know. And we're going to talk about that in 2 Samuel 22 because it's also repeated in Psalm 18.
Right,
2 Samuel 22 is really repeated right over there in the book of Psalms.
Well, and two, I think just the Psalms in general.
Right.
There's so many praiseful songs.
Amen.
But you know what? David lays it on the line with God in a lot of Psalms too. And I think that's why he's a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
He knew what it was to be honest with God and not just, he didn't use high sounding phrases. When he was mad at God, he let God know that. When he was in distress, he let God know that. He didn't candy coat. I mean, you read the Psalms. David
called it like he saw it.
He called it like it was. And
that's an excellent point because so often, I mean, the scripture could have said these men were, you know, they didn't have homes or they didn't have whatever. But I think it's so cool that the scripture says these guys that came around David were in debt, in distress, and they were discontent. So, I mean, it shows how bad the situation was when they all signed on to be David's mm-hmm. men. Little did they know how God was going to transform their lives and turn them into mighty men of God.
Right.
Men of valor, men of courage, men of stability, men that were committed and knew. And dear friend, because the anointing is so strong in this radio station right this minute, I feel like I want to pray for you, Bill. I'm not kidding you. The anointing of God is so strong. Dear ones out there, there are some of you listening to our voices right now that you feel all of that. You just feel beaten down. You feel discouraged and discontent and maybe in debt or just distressed or you just nothing feels right. You just feel yucky. Hang with us through this show because God is going to turn it around for you and you're going to reach out in faith and believe God that you can become one of the mighty men instead of staying one mm-hmm. of those in debt, in distress, and discontentment.
And that's what God wants. I mean, like I said before, God wants you whole. He doesn't want you to be discontented.
Right.
He wants you to be content. Like Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever situation
I'm
in.
I love that in Philippians 4.
Because as long as you're keeping your eyes on Jesus,
yes,
it doesn't matter what happens because you're trusting God.
Amen.
You're laying it, just letting God take over. God doesn't want you in debt. He gives you the wisdom, the power to make wealth, to become wealthy.
Deuteronomy 8:18.
He gives you the seed to plant.
Yes.
To give you, to get you out of debt. And he doesn't do that just so you can heap up, you know, a couple of Mercedes and whatever, you know, nice big old mansion. He does that so you can plant more seed.
Exactly.
Back into the kingdom. That's the whole purpose of that.
And, go ahead.
And you know, just the last one, discontent.
Distressed.
Ha, thank you. I've forgotten what the last D was.
Yeah.
But God wants to de-stress you, not have you distressed, but de-stress you.
In other words, get you out of stress.
Right. I mean, because he wants you to enter into his rest.
Ooh, amen.
You know, Hebrews chapters 2, 3, 4. Just enter into God's rest and just let God do it.
Shalom.
Yeah.
Peace.
And again, the whole thing goes back to that concept of shalom, which is so great. And that's what David was able to do.
Right.
David was able to, he entered into that shalom. He entered into that rest of God. He entered into the peace of God.
Yes.
He entered into the presence of God.
Amen.
And he stayed there. Yeah, he kind of wandered a little bit here and there. But praise God, David came back. That's one thing. I think some of us have such trouble with, which does have correlations to our debt and distress and discontent. We sin, we think we can't come to God.
Right.
Well, instead of running from God, the first thing we need to do is run to God.
Amen.
Because he's already paid the price. In Jesus, the price for that sin has already been paid.
Amen.
The atonement's been made. You running away from God isn't going to make any difference.
You know, you're exactly right. And when I think of debt, distress, and discontent, I also think there's sin involved there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not sin that you're poor, no. But what happens when we're in debt and discontent and in distress? We get into worry and we get into fear and we get into anxiety. We lose our peace. We get into a place where we are so worried about money, we say negative things.
Right.
I've been there, done that, and I bought the T-shirt. And you know what? I have learned, I paid for the T-shirt, and I made my poverty even worse. I have been there, but I have learned that what comes out of my mouth is critical to my prosperity.
Yes.
And Pastor Jim, that took me a while to learn it, because growing up in, I won't say the word poverty, but my parents were pastors and missionaries. We didn't have extra money. We were, it was always tight. It was always tight. And you can grow up with a poverty mentality. And maybe some of our listeners have had that, where you just feel like anytime you get your hands on any money, it just kind of slips through your fingers. There's a hole in your pocket, or something like that.
That's because you probably said that,
Probably did.
It's possible. But and God's word has principles.
Yes.
About what, God says very plainly, test me.
Yes.
In Malachi chapter 3, test me on this.
Right.
See if I won't open up the windows of heaven. He said, I'll stop the devourer.
That's Malachi 3, 8 through 11.
And
he says, go ahead and tithe. Give your 10%. Put it in where?
Into the storehouse, into the church. It's where you're getting fed.
It's where you're getting fed. Yeah.
And
put it there, and what's going to happen?
See if I won't open the windows of heaven.
Oh, my.
And I will rebuke. God says he himself will rebuke the devourer.
Woo! Some of our listeners may not have a church they go to. If you listen to this radio show, we invite you to plant your finances into the good soil of this ministry, because God is mightily blessing this ministry. It's good soil. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and on PayPal, you can give, you can plant some seed, and the seed of your finances, and it will come back to you, because God's word says it. You can remind God of Malachi 3, 8 through 11, and see if he does not stand true to his word and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't begin to understand or fathom.
Amen. And woo. Engineer Bill said, someone said you can only test God in tithing, and that's true.
Yes.
That's the one place that God said, test me, didn't he? You've heard it said in the Old Testament, and Jesus also quoted it, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
Right.
This is the one place where God said, test me. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Go ahead. See if I can just hear him. See if I won't do this.
Yes.
Come on.
See if this thing doesn't work here for you.
And I can say for myself, it works.
It works. Amen.
It works.
Luke 6:38, if you're writing notes or taking down, the passage Pastor Jim just taught you was Malachi 3, 8 through 11. Here's the next one. Luke 6:38, and it says this. Jesus said this. It's pretty good authority, don't you think? It's in red in your Bible. Jesus said, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. It doesn't say give and maybe you might get a return on your investment. You guys would not like it if you had, let's say, $1 million and you decided to go put it in this bank over here, and you go up to the window and you say to them, all right, what's going to be the return on my investment? And they go, you know what? We're not giving any return on investments anymore. It's zero. You're not going to get any interest on your big savings account. You go, wait a minute. I'm putting $1 million in your bank.
Time to go to another bank.
Exactly. And you're not giving me any return on my investment. We wouldn't do that.
No.
Okay. Now, God's word says when we give, this is Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. That means a whole lot.
Press down.
Press down.
So they're squeezing as much as they can.
Get all the air out of it. Press down. Shaking it.
Together.
Yeah, make sure there's more room for more blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Running over.
Shall it be poured into your lap?
Wow. You know what? Some of you out there need to claim Luke 6:38 for your finances and give. And even if it is a small amount, just look at the widow in the example in the New Testament.
And oddly enough, I was just thinking of that. People might say, well, I'm on a fixed income. And, praise God, because I've heard, and I believe it, that God will work. It doesn't matter. You're on, you know, I know I work in social service, so I know that SSI is $674 a month.
Okay.
So you tie $67.40.
Right.
That's your 10%.
Right.
God, who, Jesus, who took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people,
multiplication,
is going to stretch that remaining money.
Amen.
And multiply it. I believe it. I've seen that happen with my own paycheck.
Yes.
It's like, whoa, where'd this come from? Or how did this, you know, how did this happen?
Exactly.
You'll just begin to see God moving miraculously to make that money go for what you need. Because God, what sort of God would we serve? And I'm sorry, I'm going to preach here a minute. But
that's
what
all right.
sort of God would we serve? And why would other people want to follow a God who makes you poor and makes
exactly.
you miserable and leaves
it's
you?
Not of God.
And leaves you distressed, discontented, and debt-ridden.
Do you realize that none of those 400 guys stayed in that condition?
Right. Amen. And God doesn't want any of us. The Lord Jesus doesn't
yes.
want us in that position.
Amen.
Otherwise, why
Amen.
Bother? And why talk? You know, why talk to anybody about God? Oh, I'm so happy I serve God because I'm so far
I'm
in debt.
I'm so poor.
I'm so discontented with my life.
Yeah.
Who'd want to serve a God
Who
like
wants
that?
To serve that? And God wants, if you're in that category right this moment, debt, distress, discontent, God wants to pull you out. And it starts with a step of faith. It starts
Amen.
With you talking to Jesus and saying, you know, Jesus, this sounds good. Is this true? And he'll confirm it in the word. He'll confirm it by some other means.
Amen.
Step out in faith. Listen to this song by Kathy Tricoli. Oddly enough, it's entitled Talk to Jesus.
When no one you know will listen, and nobody seems to care, that the love you need is missing, you've looked everywhere. When your heart is undercover, and you're sinking like a stone, to Jesus, talk to Jesus, when this whole world is more than you can bear. Talk to Jesus, talk to Jesus. There, talk to Jesus. When you're scared your life is over, or you've never lived at all, and you trade it all tomorrow for a place to you will. Sometimes slip away. yet somehow we remain. A word away from heaven.
Praise God. Talk to Jesus. That's the answer. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And Pastor Jim is here with me in the studio today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are excited you have joined us. We're talking about David's mighty men, how they became mighty. They didn't start out mighty, did they,
nope.
Pastor Jim?
Nope.
They started out how? What were those three things?
In debt,
uh-huh.
Distressed, and discontented.
And that is from 1 Samuel 22. If you have your Bible, go with us to 2 Samuel 22. And let's see what David spoke. Now, David could have been full of negativity because he was being chased for years around the desert by King Saul, who tried 21 times to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but after about the first time, I'd be upset. And I mean, the eighth time, I don't know. Maybe after the 16th time, I mean, can you imagine that it would be hard to be chased for years? Do you know how many years he was chased, Pastor Jim? It had to be several.
Well, he became king at 40, and he was still a youth.
He was chased for 20 years.
Yeah, he was chased for around 20 years.
Oh, my heavens. Woo. Wow. Oh, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, so often we just get ourselves thinking, oh, this awful situation in my life, I can't seem to get out of it, or I've dug myself into a big hole of credit and indebtedness. God does have an answer for all of that, by the way. But David spoke the right things. David was being chased for a real long time. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. And I'm in the NIV. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So David did sing a song. In fact, we know he wrote a lot of the Psalms.
Yes,
now,
did.
David's song did not start out like this. I'm going to tell you how it didn't start out. It didn't start out as, woe is me, I'm so in debt, nobody loves me, I'm a mess, I don't have any money, I'm a mess, I'm a mess. Did it?
No. Oh, and I have one quick correction. It was 30. No.
30 years.
He was 30. He was 30 when he became king.
That's right.
King.
Okay.
That was a good, like, Wizard of Oz.
You like that?
Which I'm melting voice.
Was that it? Yeah. It was pretty disgusting, wasn't it?
That was disgusting.
It was like a self-pity party.
Yeah.
Icky Island thing.
Yeah. And thankfully, David didn't do that.
He didn't do that. Instead, we see him here. It says, he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. Pastor Jim, would you read that down through verse 7? Because I love your deep voice and how you sound here. Would you do that? Start there.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord who was worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears.
Wow. Wow. In the Message Bible, verse 7 says, a hostile world. You know, it's hostility when you're in debt to everybody, right? I called to God. To my God, I cried out. From his palace, he heard my call. He heard me call. My cry brought me right into his presence, a private audience. I love that. What is that saying, Pastor Jim? And what was David's attitude here after having been chased around the desert for at least 20 years? What was his attitude? And what do you think his attitude was while he was being chased?
Well, we know what it was while he was being chased. Psalm 3 and,
yes,
and some of the others talk about when he was being chased. And this David's song of praise here in chapter 22, it's it's showing the condition. And I think this is why David is a God, man after God's own heart. It shows David's yes. heart condition.
Yes.
He proclaims. I mean, this is not only after he'd been chased around by Saul, but after he had all the tumult in his own
right
kingdom. When this is after Absalom, that whole incident.
After his son.
After
yeah.
the rebellion and all that. And there were a couple of other rebellions, too.
Right.
But here, David just sings out, the Lord is my rock.
Amen.
My fortress and my deliverer. That's amazing to me. And I pray I can be that way.
Because that's what God wants us to be. Yeah.
And that's what makes us people after God's own heart.
Yes.
Because, David's saying, yes, all this horrible stuff happened to me. Torrents of death, the cords of the grave. Violent men confronted me.
Right.
And in my distress, I called out. I called to the Lord my God. He heard me. My cry came to his ears. Now, that should be an encouragement for any Woo. Of us when we cry out to God.
God hears us.
God will hear us.
Amen. Pastor Jim, do you believe, because I do, that during those 20-some years or longer that they were running around the desert, that these 400 men heard David writing songs? He wrote a lot of the Psalms. He wrote, he's my glory and the lifter of my head from Psalm 3 that you just quoted. Mm-hmm. David wrote this. He experienced it. He was being hunted down like a dog by King Saul. Yet during those years, David's men were transformed from being in debt, distress, and discontent into David's mighty men because they heard these types of statements coming out of David's mouth mm-hmm. and in song. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. That's Psalm 63 that David wrote. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
Yeah, and it just is amazing. I mean,
amen.
And take time to read, if your Bible has them, because some do and some don't, the superscriptions above the Psalms.
Yes.
The little explanations, because a lot of the Psalms have little explanations.
Mm-hmm.
When David was being chased by Absalom, when David was found out he'd been betrayed by Doeg the Edomite.
Right. Doeg the Edomite.
And that's in actually the chapter just before in 1 Samuel, where
right.
David's kind of betrayed by this Edomite.
Right.
And
hate it when that happens.
I do too.
Yeah.
Oh, silly Edomites.
I know.
But you read those Psalms and it's like, here he is. He could have been, on donkey back then or walking or whatever. And he's writing this Psalm about it. This is how much I trust in God. Even though all this stuff's happening,
right?
I'm still trusting God. And yeah, I think those 400 men, they were drawn to him, we said earlier, because he was a leader.
Yes.
And I don't know how many of them, I don't know how many of them knew he'd actually been anointed king. Because there weren't that many around when he was actually anointed king.
And they didn't have text messaging then,
right,
did they?
Right. It was just mm-hmm. David's brothers.
No Gmail, nothing like yeah. that, right?
I mean, eventually it got back to Saul because
right.
he got jealous of David.
Right.
But how many of those 400 men knew? I don't know. But I doubt that all of them knew. I really doubt that. But something drew them. And then here's David singing these psalms of trust. And you can Ooh. Bet one of them, even though it was written when David was much younger.
Right.
Psalm 23. He had to be singing that.
Yes, yes.
The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want.
Ooh, amen.
Imagine the effect that had. I mean, because we saw it this morning just with our worship service.
Yes.
Music and praising
yes.
God
yes.
has such an effect.
Oh, it does.
On people. It gets you, brings you into God's presence.
Amen.
Well, imagine them listening to him, to David, all that time. That must have just.
He had a harp. He had a some kind of an instrument.
The lyre, yeah.
Equivalent probably to our guitar or something like that. And he was sitting around in the cave. Don't you think he was sitting around picking on his.
And singing.
In his guitar, let's call it. And singing, and that's when he was writing these songs. Mm-hmm. I will bless thee, O Lord, or he's my glory and the lifter of my head.
Yep.
And that this was changing those men who had gone to him in raggedy conditions, debt, distress, discontent. Instead, they became God's mighty men and David's mighty men. And I like verse 29 of 2 Samuel chapter 22. David says, "You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. And when you're in a lot of debt and financial depression, discouragement, distress, it feels real dark. That's a dark place because it's a place of hopelessness. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. It's a place where we get discouraged and down. There's no way I can pay this bill. There's no way I can come out of this debt, distress, or discontent. So David says here in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, "You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help," I love this.
I love that.
Yeah, go ahead, read it.
"With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall."
Woo! I wrote a little song, and I don't write songs. Remember this one I wrote from this scripture a long time ago from the New American Standard? "By my God, I can run upon a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. And I know that no weapon that is formed against me shall be able to prosper at all." Woo! And that's what this is about. Mm-hmm. And David would sit around and sing like that. And he says, "God, with your help, I can run upon a troop. And with my God, I can leap over the wall. I can scale a wall." Because so often, Pastor Jim, this discontent, distress, and debt seems like a huge brick wall front of us.
Or an army of 10,000 people.
Oh, exactly. An army of 10,000 bills facing you.
Yeah.
Right in front of you. Sitting there on your desk and you can't pay them?
Yeah. Not engineer bill. Not 10,000 engineers.
No, not engineer bill. This is talking about bills that you have to pay.
Bills you have to pay.
Yes. Not you.
Calling responsibility.
Responsibility, exactly. And sometimes it's daunting. Sometimes it's overwhelming.
Yes.
What do you mean by, I know what daunting means, but I can't remember right.
Sometimes it's like a brick wall right in front of you. It just seems like there's no way you can leap over that wall. Okay, there's no way you can come out of this financial mess.
Your daughter has had that challenge, and I have that challenge.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, I talked with her. Friday was her birthday, and talked with her.
Oh, it was her birthday?
Yes.
Does she listen to these shows?
She can't. She's in prison right now.
She's not allowed to listen to these shows. You
absolutely
can't.
Not.
You can't send it on CD.
Nope. Cannot.
Well, what kind of prison is that, man?
Well it's... Prison in Indiana.
It's prison.
But you know what? God is doing, because she's getting these books. In fact, tomorrow we're sending 25 more of these books to the prison where she is in Indiana. Letters to Lori is the name of the book, Little Girl Lost.
Well, and when she gets out, I like to sing Happy Birthday to her.
Well, we will save that for when she gets out later this year. We're excited about that. But God is causing her to minister in the midst of her difficult circumstances.
And again, like one of David's mighty men.
Yes, she is.
Because Lori could certainly sit around and be discontented, distressed, and worry about what she's lost.
Absolutely.
The debt part, but she's not.
Well, Friday she was having a rough day. It was her birthday, and she called me. And she can only call me. I can't call her, you know. And so we talked for a couple minutes, and she was down. She was discouraged. She was worried about her son, who was having some medical tests. But Saturday afternoon, she called back, and we don't talk 2 days in a row. And she said, "Mom, I called to tell you that God is moving here. I'm ministering. I'm praying with people. I'm sorry I was in a funky place yesterday." But she said, "I know that I'm here for a reason." And I mean, she just got me bawling on the phone yesterday, Pastor Jim, because she is realizing that even though she's in a confined space for right now, she's still in the center of God's will for her. And it's all okay, and she is ministering to many. We got to take a station ID break, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Woo! You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're excited that you have joined us today. We've been on the air already an hour. Pastor Jim, it seems like 5 minutes to me.
It does. It's like our own little space-time continuum in the booth here.
Isn't it fun to be here? And 2 weeks from today, most of our radio team are going to be here in person in the studio with us. Some still will not be able to be in person, but they'll be calling in or emailing because we have quite a large radio team now and a couple new ones that are going to join us on the team soon. And it's exciting. Deb and Alice are coming all the way from Houston, Texas. and they're still a part of our team. They are. Alice also heads up the prayer team. Can you tell our listening audience what the prayer team does?
I'd be glad to. What we do is, if you have a prayer request, you know, I'd recommend anybody, you know, if you have a prayer request, you can send that request to prayers.
Yes.
P-R-A-Y-E-R-S at beaconofhopeministries.com. And what happens, we'll take your prayer request and either Alice or Deb or myself, depending on who picks it up first, we will send it out to our prayer team. And we have a prayer team now that stretches, cross country,
right,
way all over the place. Quite a few people on the prayer team. And what we do is send out the request with a sample little prayer that usually we come up with.
Right.
And send that to the prayer team. The prayer team will take your request before God.
Amen.
And we have seen miracles. We saw miracles last year. We saw miracle healings of cancer.
Right.
We saw miracles this year with baby Addison.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, her neutrophils just started happening, you know?
She's doing great, by the way.
And,
She's doing great.
God answers prayer, and that's why we do, that's why we have that ministry.
Right. We had prayed for a friend of Carol's. Carol's one of our radio team. She called me before the show, and her friend does not have breast cancer
after all.
So that's an answered prayer that happened this week. There's just been so many things. I mean, you have a notebook that has all of this in, and so does Alice.
Prayer requests and praises.
It's incredible, the praises, the answers to prayer. We invite you to send us your prayer requests. Mm-hmm. We want you to send them.
See, that goes into the pamphlet where the attendance would be.
The answers to prayer. Bill's trying to give us a new ministry, I guess. Well, praise God. We're just glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We are doing this show because it is an outreach of Beacon of Hope,
yes,
because it is about spreading the gospel. That's what giving your finances is all about, too, Pastor Jim. It's to get the gospel out there,
well,
you know?
You know, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 9 says God provides the seed.
Yes.
So that we can sow it, he'll give us the seed initially. He expects us to sow it.
Exactly.
To reap the harvest and then give out more seed. And he says in there that it will become a huge thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
It's not so that we can hoard it. Because, you know, Jesus told that parable about the rich man who hoarded all his goods. And, you know, he died and God said, called him a fool and said, you fool.
Right.
What are you going to do now? You've stored up all this. Who's going to get it?
Exactly. It's about spreading the gospel.
Exactly.
You know, I could figure it out, but I'm not going to. We have been, in April, it'll be 4 years that we've been on the air on this station. And actually, 2 weeks from now is our 200th show. But we could think about how much money Beacon of Hope Ministries has invested in the gospel on this radio station, and it's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And the point of it simply is this: we have done it as unto the Lord. We have done it believing that people will wake up in the middle of the night and go listen to one of these radio shows and maybe get saved or get healed or understand scripture like they've never understood it before. We do this in faith. We put it out there. Every time I leave the station after these shows, Pastor Jim, I get in my car out there, and one of the first things I do is out loud, thank you, God, for another opportunity to give the gospel out. And I know you feel that way, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a joy. Thousands of dollars is fine, you know?
A joy and a blessing.
Yes. It's exciting. And
it is.
We offer you that opportunity to become a partner with Beacon of Hope Ministries. We don't talk about it very often, but we want you to join us and become a partner. Simply go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can give financially on PayPal. It's a safe, secure way to give financially. But also, you can let us know that you're a partner by simply writing me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can also write us now. We've got email up right this moment if you want to comment on today's show. If you want to be a part of it or ask a question, you can do that right now. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim is monitoring email right now. So we just praise God and thank him for all the answers to prayer. Pastor Jim, they are huge, the
Amen.
Answers to prayer. We've started a new year, 2011. We know this is the 10th year of Beacon of Hope. And we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary in October, and that is very exciting. And listen to this song, and then I believe Connie is going to join us in a minute, and I bet she'll have some comments on this Casting Crowns song. One of my favorites. She put it on this CD, and I'll tell you, it's great. I will praise you in the storm.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm mercy falls. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
God. Ooh, I'll tell you, where does my help come from? It comes from God. Mm-hmm. Connie, my friend, are you on the phone?
Sure am.
Oh, good. You on your way to work already?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been listening to us and the talk we've been having about prosperity?
Actually, I haven't been able to listen too much because I was trying to hurry up and get ready to
okay.
go.
Okay. We were really just talking about... talking about a lot of things, about David's mighty men, actually, who became mighty men as they walked with David, as they heard him writing scripture, as they heard him confessing that the Lord is my rock and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Some of the very words of the Psalms that David wrote, we know he must have sat around in the cave and tried out a new song on the guys. You know what I'm saying? You know, and they learn this. And Connie, don't you feel that so often we get ourselves bogged down in a mountain of debt and discouragement? We talked about those three D's, all the men that surrounded David, the ones in debt, distress, and discontent. And don't you think it's easy for people to get to that place?
Yeah. You know, it's easy if you're just sitting around by yourself, or even if you've got somebody to commiserate with, until somebody takes the high road and helps lift the group up.
Right.
You're just going to be circling the drain.
And what's the danger of that, Connie, getting into that place where we worry and we're fearful and we're full of anxiety where our finances are concerned? Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I have.
Okay, because you wouldn't hardly be human if you hadn't been there,
yeah,
I'm telling
exactly.
you.
Right. And I can remember how much sleep I lost over needing money for this bill or that bill. and beating myself up because I shouldn't have made this purchase, or I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done this. And it's just poor decisions and poor management. So the more you beat yourself up, the worse it is, because you just keep crawling into a hole. And
exactly,
you know, the whole unworthiness feeling, and then, you know, you don't feel like praising God, you don't feel like worshiping, you don't go to church, you withdraw. It's like a never-ending cycle that just sucks you into a vacuum.
You know, you are so right about that. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's where a lot of people are in their spiritual lives, Connie. And the devil does this. John 10:10 says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So have you been in a place like that, Connie, in your life? And what did you do to get out of it?
Well, I was in a relationship that was, you know, you think that it's healthy because you really care about this person, and this person would never do you wrong, and all that. But the problem was is that you spend so much time trying to do things for this person to make them happy, to be with you or to make them happy or whatever, and you just get farther in debt and farther behind and farther in a mess. And, you know, it doesn't make you happy, and it doesn't make them happy.
Wow.
And, you finally have to say, you know, I can't keep doing this.
You know, that's huge, because you just hit on one of the main things that I believe. And of course, as I said earlier, this isn't scripted. We just let the Holy Spirit lead. But Connie, I think this is one of the main problems that happens in people's lives, where they lose a lot of peace and they lose a lot of finances. And that is trying to impress other people, or trying to be in a relationship that demands a lot financially from you, and getting you, Pastor Jim, you're wagging your head here. Would you want to talk about this, Pastor Jim? We'll come back to you, Connie, but stay on with us.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes just even when we know better, there are times when we don't know better, and we just get into that. But,
right.
You know, there have been times when we just have to, as painful as it is, extricate ourselves from a relationship like that. Because
right.
sometimes we get into a relationship, and for whatever reason, we talk ourselves into believing this is a good thing for us.
Right. And that's not hard to do sometimes.
No,
it's easy to fall into that trap.
But then, you know, we, especially in the area of debt, especially if you're unequally yoked,
right.
that's really hard.
Because this goes along right with what Connie's talking about. Explain unequally yoked.
Well,
some of our listening audience may not know what that is.
In 2 Corinthians, Paul admonishes the believers not to be unequally yoked, and it's goes back to under the law. It said don't yoke an oxen and I believe a donkey together.
Right.
Because
it's like a dog and a cat.
Right. You put the two of them in the same yoke.
Right.
It's going to be uneven. There's not going to be an equal partnership.
Right.
So God is, you know, Paul said, don't be unequally yoked. Don't be yoked together with somebody who's not where you're at. We've all done that.
Right.
We've all done that. And that can be very difficult sometimes.
Right.
Because you're going to want some things.
Say you want to tithe, and your partner
and your
husband
partner
or wife says, no way,
no
we're not
way.
Tithing.
We are not going to tithe.
Right.
Well, of course, I just say, yeah, well, I'm tithing on mine. So,
right.
You know.
Exactly. Exactly. Connie, do you want to amplify on all that?
Well, all I can say is, oh, my gosh, I was in this relationship. I remember I donated, right, gave money to this ministry, and boy, did it hit the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo!
Right.
I got in major trouble, screaming and yelling about how I could put all that money into something that, you know, and I was planting seed.
Right. Exactly. You were doing what the scripture says to do. Plant your finances into a good earth, good gospel preaching, believing, da-da-da ministry. Go ahead.
Right. And it just wreaked havoc in the relationship. And she never forgot it either.
Yeah. And it causes...
When it came to argument situations.
Right.
Or if there was things about money that came up, it was like, well, if you wouldn't have spent this money in this ministry or this whatever, you know, then, you know.
So you're saying it's very hard to be in a relationship, a marriage, whatever it is, if you are not in this on the same place when it comes to giving of finances. Finances, even in marriages or relationships that are not centered in God, finances is one of the biggest things that people fight about, right?
Well, of course, because it's,
you know,
it's a tangible thing.
Right. Yeah. And people, you know, we counsel at Beacon of Hope and we hear it. I mean, people have issues with finances in marriages and in relationships, partnerships, whatever it is. And it is something that the devil gets in there and does not want the money given to the gospel. That's always the bottom line. So it's going to stir up all kinds of problems. Connie, you want to comment on, any more on that concept?
No, I think you have to be able to be strong enough in your relationship to, even if you are unequally yoked, you have to take the lead and this is how it's going to be. And then if that person's not interested in following that, then eventually you're going to have to part ways. But and that's unfortunately, you know, what happens most of the time is that they don't understand the concept to,
right,
to be able to give or you know, pay your tithes and pay what's due to God.
Right.
Because he's the one ultimately that allows you to have what you have.
Exactly. You said, go ahead.
That's all.
It's a battle, and I want us to look at 2 Samuel 22 and verse 35. And David says that God trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. Now let's look at this metaphor. Verse 36, you give me your shield of victory. You stoop down and make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I want us to look at verse 38 there, 2 Samuel 22. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely, and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. Now, David is talking about literal men here that he was fighting. But also, David was fighting distress, discontent, and debt in his men that were a part of his army. And David learned that you have to fight those things. And here's my question to both of you. Why is it that so many people just succumb to debt, discontent, and distress, and it becomes a way of life, and they don't fight it? Connie, I'll start with you, and then Pastor Jim. I want you both to answer that.
Well, I think they don't fight it or try. I mean, some of it may be that they don't understand what's expected and what God really wants out of us and for us. And then other times it has to do with just trying to live two different lives, one foot in the spiritual, your spirituality, and the other foot in the world.
Yep.
And trying to please two masters, you can't.
Exactly.
You can't win.
You're right.
You know, and you can't hold on to a piece of the world and walk fully in God's grace.
Exactly.
You can't.
Why can't you, Connie?
Because, well, just like I said, you can't serve two masters.
Right.
And that one worldly thing, whatever, even if it's just one little thing, will always keep you distracted and you will never be 100%.
And I think that is so true, and I'm going to get to you, Pastor Jim, in just a second. I think it is so true, and I think it's so true when it comes to our finances, because we need finances to get the gospel out there, okay, to put this show on every week, to turn the electricity on in our church building, to pay the rent. We need finances, and so the devil works hard against us being in prosperity. Pastor Jim, you want to comment to all that Connie was saying?
Well, and I definitely agree with what Connie said. I mean, it's hard. It takes discipline to do battle.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's a struggle.
Right,
and
it is.
It's something you have to, it's a fight.
It's a fight.
And some people, I mean, there have been times when I just didn't want to fight.
The devil does not want us prosperous.
No,
Let's really establish that.
He wants
the devil wants you poor.
Right.
John 10:10 says the thief comes to
steal kill, and destroy.
And
I like this here. He trains my hands for war.
Yeah.
God gives us what we need.
Yes.
By the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
By the Word.
Right.
That's how he trains us for war. And
it's war.
Dear friends, yes.
When it's
make
money.
No mistake. When it's your money, when it's your health, when it's
Woo.
Your salvation.
It's war.
When it's seeing your family saved.
Yes.
When it's seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit, when it's seeing the anointing come,
Amen.
It is war.
It is war.
And we are in a war, no matter, you know, and I'm a pacifist from way back. I was one of the last people that should have gone for the draft, and I filed for conscientious objector status because I knew
right.
I just couldn't do it.
Right.
But on the spiritual plane, I have to be a warrior. There are no two ways about it. We are in a war.
And because the devil does not want you prosperous, what it should do to us is we should dig our heels in and say, you know what? Because the devil doesn't want me prosperous and doesn't want me planting my tithes and my offerings into the kingdom of God, I'm going to do it all the more.
Mm-hmm.
Connie, comment.
Well, I think that's exactly the way the mindset should have, but I think what happens is we get complacent and or you may be in a situation where things seem to be okay and don't rock the boat, so
yeah.
You know, just kind of, you're just kind of going with the tide, kind of hanging in there and instead of stepping out of the boat and walking on the water and trying something different. It's hard for somebody to change.
Oh, it is.
It's hard for somebody to make a decision to, sometimes it means going out on your own where nobody else is.
Exactly.
Or leaving that person who's dragging you down. But there's also a point where, I mean, people can only be an anchor to you for as long as you allow them to, and there's a point where you're drowning.
Exactly.
And you're the only one that can actually save your life, and that's by getting rid of the anchor.
Exactly. And because of that, because this is life and death for a lot of people, your finances, you say, what do you mean our finances are life and death? It can get you to such a hole emotionally, being in such debt, that you have no joy in your life. You have no reason for living. You don't understand the value of tithing and giving to support the gospel. Instead, you just get so defeated by your own distress, debt, and discontent. You know what I'm saying? Pastor Jim, comment on what she just said.
Well, that's so true. I was thinking of when, in the stories I've heard about the Great Depression. No, I'm not old enough to have been there in 1929,
right.
but people who depended on their money.
Right.
They jumped out of windows.
Yes.
Because that was, they lost all hope.
They
all
lost
their hope,
all hope
was wrapped up in money. And Connie, you said it earlier, you can't serve two masters. You can't love God and money.
Exactly. And you use money for the for what we need to use it
use
for,
it
but
for.
It's not, we should not be loving money.
Right. Right.
Woo.
Because that is, as Paul wrote, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils.
Exactly.
You know, it's not the money is, it's the love of money.
The love
but,
of it.
You know, my point is you put God first, and it doesn't matter what the stock market does.
Right.
It doesn't matter, you know, what happens in the world, because we're trusting and believing in God.
Amen.
That he has us in the palm of his hand, that we're in the center of his will, and God's going to take care of us.
And like David said here, I totally agree. He said, I pursued my enemies of distress and mm-hmm. debt. Listen to this song and then stay with us, Connie, if you can. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Song. Every struggle has purpose. He'll take you through the storm. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Connie, you originally put that song on this CD for the show. What are you thinking there? And talk to me where it applies to our finances.
Well, as you taught us today, the three P's.
Yes.
After the three D's, you taught us three P's.
Right. And I haven't gone over that, so you want to mention what they are? The first one is?
Problem.
The problem. Yes, the problem. Yes. The problem, the promise. Promise.
Yeah. Right.
And then the provision.
I lost the middle one.
Yeah.
Problem, the promise, and then the provision.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they all start with P-R-O.
P-R-O.
Pro us.
Yes.
Not con, pro.
Yep. They're for us. The problem. How can the problem be for us when it comes to our finances? Let's say that we've got listeners out there right now who this is all new to, and they've got a pile of debt. They're discontent. And they're in distress. How can a problem like that be a benefit to them?
Well, it can help them get on track with God and realize that he's the one that they need to ask for help, and he's
Amen.
There waiting to help us, provide for us, and he has a promise for us. He promises us that he will be our provider.
Amen.
And our shepherd, our healer, everything. He is everything for us.
Amen. Pastor Jim, comment on that. Thank you.
Well, and, you know, in Second Corinthians, all the promises of God.
Yes.
Our yes in Jesus, to
right.
which we add the amen, the so be it.
Mm-hmm.
And so following up on what Connie, what you said, we have those promises. And in Jesus, they're yes.
Right.
I mean, they're yes. And they're
in
ours.
Other words, the promise, let's say Psalm 35:27, that God delights in the prosperity of his servant. Or Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Are you saying that is yes for everyone listening right now?
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, you know, remember, you know, God said, you know, tithe. And Paul was specifically speaking to the Philippian church
right.
there, the believers in Philippi, who had given into his ministry. And
right.
God, and Paul said, you know what, because you did this, my God shall supply all of your needs
Amen.
According to his riches and glory.
Because they had planted seed.
They had planted seed in Paul's ministry.
Yes, they had planted their finances. Connie, comment on that.
Well, I had a different thought. Now it went away.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
That's okay. We'll come back to you if you want to wait a second. Do you?
Okay. Yeah,
all right. All right. So what we're saying, dear listening audience, is that we can, because we live in a society where we have plastic credit cards and debit cards, and it's real easy to get in debt, real, real easy, real quick. And we can find ourselves not only in debt, but in distress and in discontent, just like those 400 men that came to David in that cave in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And however, the anointing of God was upon David. David understood the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys come with a problem. So Connie, I'm going to go back to these three P's that you mentioned that I preached on this morning. You cannot have God's provision without a problem. If you had all the money in the world and you had no problem, like God does, if you, let's say that you won the lotto and you have $25 million in your bank account, you don't really have a problem financially. Maybe you have a problem figuring out how you're going to spend it all. But I mean, we're talking about the average one of us that maybe the paycheck just doesn't go far enough or on time enough or anything else to suit us. So when we have a financial problem, God says he has a promise for that problem. That's what you're saying, Connie. God has a promise for that problem. So if your problem is financial, there are promises in God's word that we've been talking about. We've thrown out several of them right now. If you have a pen, I'm going to give several references to you real quick. Psalm 35:27, Psalm 66:12. I don't want to go too fast. Philippians 4:19. Deuteronomy 8:18, it says God gives you the power to get wealth, that we will have plenty. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down. 2 Corinthians 9:6-11, there are so many promises concerning your finances. And by the way, if you want more, you can write me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and I'll send you some. So Connie, back to you. We have the problem. God has the promise. Then what happens? How do we get from the promise to the provision, which is number three?
Well, there's another promise that I always hang on to, and that he causes everything to work together
Amen.
For the good.
Amen.
Our good. And so, and I can tell you that, you know, when you have those time lapses from when the end of the money happens until your next paycheck,
uh-huh.
but somebody else is screaming at you for more money.
Been living it. Understand it.
Yeah. When that happens, and I know everybody's living that
everybody
way
has that.
The
yeah.
economy the way it is. And when that happens, I can say personally that miracles happen because either something doesn't get deposited, doesn't get deducted from my account like it should. You
right.
know, how normal transactions happen.
Right.
You know, on a however,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And it's not normal.
Right.
So I know that it's not a glitch in the system. It's God right. interacting and on my side.
Amen.
Taking care of it.
Providing the provision.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Absolutely.
And he is providing. He promises and he provides.
Amen. We got the problem. We have the promise. And we have the provision. And when we understand that God is not going to, because you just quoted Romans 8:28, which I love. It says that, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. So right. when we are walking that way and we have a problem, we can be confident that God's got a promise attached to that problem and that from the promise will come the provision. Pastor Jim, comment on all that, will
well, you? Yeah, and I talked about earlier and
yeah.
kind of swinging back full circle.
Yes.
I think one of the reasons people may obviously see the problem, they find the promise, but then something has to happen between there and provision.
Amen.
And of course, the big thing is faith.
Yes.
But faith has to be spoken.
Exactly. It's what we do with that promise.
You know, in Romans chapter 10, Paul talks about that principle he talks about, for with the heart you believe.
Yes.
But with the mouth you're saved.
That's right. You speak it. You have to speak it.
With the mouth you have to speak out what you believe. And so many times we thwart the promise.
There you go, right there.
We short-circuit the promise
yes.
because we don't speak the promise. I'm a huge one for speaking the word of God.
Me too.
And I know Connie is too. We have to speak the word. It's our sword, and you had mentioned that this morning, Hebrews 4:12.
Right.
The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we talked about David in 2 Samuel 22, about pursuing his enemies.
That's right.
When Jesus comes back, John had a vision of Jesus coming back, and I thought about this morning in church. I'm riding on the white horse, and what comes out of his mouth?
the
a
word
sharp two-edged sword,
yes,
which
the
is
word
the
God.
Word of God, and it
Woo!
Slays his enemies.
Amen.
It's the same principle for us. The word of God, it's the one weapon in Ephesians chapter 6.
Yes.
That's offensive, not defensive. The word of God.
The word of God. And so that's what happens. I think a lot of times, Connie, I want your take on this too, that people understand the problem. They got a problem. They're in debt. They're discouraged.
They know they got a problem,
okay? They don't realize the problem's working for them. And Connie, you brought up that all three of those words start with P-R-O, pro, for you, okay? The problem is actually a blessing mm-hmm. in disguise. You don't see it as, you remember little trick-or-treaters that go to the door and they're dressed up like something else, but you really, it's that cute little kid, you know, who's 4 years old, who's standing there. He looks like this, but he's really this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He may look like a big bad cowboy, you know, but underneath, he's a little 4-year-old sweet little kid, okay? And so often the problem looks huge or looks overwhelming, but it's in disguise. The devil
right.
makes it look worse than it is, number one. And the devil doesn't tell you this problem is for your good. Because if you never had a problem, we started out with Through It All, Connie, today. My dad's favorite song. Remember that day the dad was crying at my dining room table, Connie?
We were all crying.
Huh?
We were all crying.
We were all crying when my dad was sitting there. We were before a radio show, one of our first ones, Pastor Jim. We were having dinner in my dining room, some of us, Brother Nathan and Connie and I and Mom and Dad, and there were other people there too. And we were just, Dad was talking about how Through It All had been his song forever. And so Nathan got up and walked to the piano and began to play it. And we were all just bawling because that song says, if we never had a problem, we never know that God
could solve it.
You know? So if you never have a problem, that brings us right back to the beginning of the show today. If you never have a problem, you never know there's a promise attached to it. And if you don't deal with the promise in the right way, you never see the provision. Okay? So, Connie, I want you to comment on that. Dealing with the promise in the right way and the way that so often we've been accustomed to dealing with the promise.
And if we don't have problems, we're not ever going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know that there's anything else out there.
That's right.
And to see what God has in store for us.
Right.
That's exactly right. And when we don't grow, we just stay stagnant. The problem becomes huger and bigger. I don't think huger is a word, but bigger, 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 bigger. And Pastor Jim, comment. Go ahead, Connie.
I said huger and huger.
Yeah, huger and huger. It does. And Pastor Jim, talk about what happens, the moving from the promise to the provision.
Well, again, believing the promises.
Yes.
Knowing that they are yes in
yes.
Jesus and speaking them and doing, I mean, there's sometimes some promises come attached with things you got to do.
Right.
Like tithing.
If then.
Yeah.
If
like,
then.
Like tithing. Test
right.
me in this. So, you know, God says, you know, again, test me in this. I'm tithe, and I'll open up the windows of heaven.
Right.
He doesn't expect us just to sit back and, okay, I'm going to play the lottery. Hopefully I'll win Powerball.
Right.
No.
He expects us to quote the word and
exactly.
to work with the promise.
Well, and think of Mark chapter 16, verse 20. He sent them out, and God worked with.
That's right.
The word. The
That's
word
right.
them is not in the original text. It God worked
with
the
word.
Word. And confirmed
when they
it by
spoke
signs
the word.
Following.
Woo!
Exactly.
Praise God. And then we see the provision.
Exactly. Then the provision will occur. Always.
Amen. Connie, comment on that. I know you're getting close to the hospital here, so we'll give us your kind of give us your summary here so I can let you go in the hospital here.
Well, I have a few minutes yet. I've got at least 10 or 15.
Okay.
But I can say personally that when I probably have had the most financial issues has been when I wasn't tithing.
The Amen.
Financial
Amen.
Issues. And then
we're all three in agreement
yeah.
on that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because you think, you get to a point where you think, oh, gosh, I can't, I've got to pay this, I've got to pay that. And everybody's standing around with their hand out waiting.
Right.
And you think, I have to pay this.
Right.
You know, and so you skip the tithe part.
Right.
And it just keeps magnifying and multiplying the problem instead of taking a hold of the problem and changing it.
It really does, doesn't it? It spreads like gangrene, you know. You understand that. You know, what happens with a virus or something, a disease, a body-eating, flesh-eating, yucky thing happens. And it does spread when we get into that. Unless we do what David said here, pursue the enemy, mm-hmm. pursue the enemy of debt and distress and discontent. Unless we take hold of the promises of God, pursuing the enemy, saying, wait a minute, we're never going to see the provision.
And I think it's important to note there, we are the ones who are supposed to go after the enemy.
Right.
We don't have to let the enemy sneak up on us
right.
because chances are the enemy already has.
Right. He already
we
has.
We need to turn around and start chasing the enemy.
Amen. How do we do that, Connie?
Praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And praying the word, praying in tongues, praying in the word, praying the word, believing God for the answers, quoting the scripture, saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. I believe this. For instance, the prayer of Jabez, I pray every day, sometimes two or three times a day. It's 2 Chronicles 4:9-10. And the prayer of Jabez is very simple. It's five lines, and it says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." That says a whole lot, the prayer of Jabez, 2 Chronicles 4:9-10. I'm going to say it one more time. Is it 1 Chronicles? 1 Chronicles. I stand corrected. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. And it says this, five lines to God. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." The third one, "That your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Connie, I know you pray that prayer. And Connie, how isn't this one of the ways we get to the provision?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is, isn't it? Right. Because because so often it's our negative talking that keeps us down under the problem. We need to correct our speech. Mm-hmm. Woo! Wow.
Just like Michelle said today, when we were all praying for each other in that circle at the front.
Yes.
When she said, "Whatever you do today, don't undo what you just got."
That's right. Why did she say that?
Be careful what comes out of your mouth.
Exactly. Why?
Life and death is caused by the tongue.
That's right. It's in the power of the tongue. We are going to play this song for Rosemary from Dunedin, but it is also for all of us. And we used it at the end of our worship time this morning at Beacon of Hope. And I tell you, there was such hooping and hollering. And Connie, you were one of those. I heard you. And I love this song, "You Raise Me Up" by Selah.
some more than I can be. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart, each soul imperfect.
God, you raise me up to more than I can be. I don't have to be in debt and distress and discontent. I can walk in the provision of God.
Amen.
Oh, Connie, I love that song. Connie, give us your final words. I know you have to go into the hospital now, so.
Yeah, I do. I think I would say the skeptics, same thing I tell them on it, everything else is try it.
Right.
And see. Amen. You know, if you're that skeptical about it, just try it.
Right.
See what happens. But do it with a willing heart and a cheerful heart.
Praise God. Thank you.
Don't do it begrudgingly.
Amen. We love you, Connie. We love you. We love you. You were on the very first radio show, April the 17th, I think it was, of 2007. Mm-hmm. Almost 4 years ago, Connie, and you have stayed on and been a radio contributor all this time. We love you. We appreciate you so much and all that you do at Beacon of Hope. Have a great night at the hospital. Thank you.
Thanks.
Pastor Jim, comment on all of this. Woo! You got a lot. You got a few minutes here, so I'll just let you tell us what you want to tell us.
Well, and I love that song.
Mm.
I rarely can listen to it without tearing up just because it means so much, because there's just so much in there. We can't do it on our own.
Right.
And that does apply to our finances. We can't do that on our own.
Yes.
There's way too much pressure on people today. I mean, we've seen the economic downturn. We know how things are.
Hasn't my industry, real estate.
No, absolutely.
I mean, totally.
And
we've all experienced it.
You know, we have to depend on God.
Amen.
To raise us up.
Yes.
And I love that first verse about, you know, when I'm down and, oh, my soul so weary. I mean, there are times when we all feel that way.
Right.
There are times this week I felt that way. It's like, oh, I just couldn't stand it.
I've had a hard week, too. You have, too. Yeah, a lot of us have.
And I told you, you know, this morning, I said, you know, I was listening to this song yesterday, and all of a sudden those words, like, jumped out of me, and I was, you know, just, like, weeping.
Weeping.
You know, weeping as I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, God wants to help us.
Right.
About that. And he understands. I mean, you know, don't ever think that God doesn't know what you're going through, because Jesus has already been there.
Right.
You know, Jesus has been there. He's experienced this stuff.
Amen.
Otherwise, he couldn't be our Savior. So, you know, he's been there, and he's going to get you through this.
He took our debt. He took our poverty in himself on the cross. And a lot of times we need to see that so we realize that there is hope in the midst of all of that discouragement and distress and debt and
There is
discontent.
Hope. I mean, he exchanged our sin for his righteousness.
Amen.
Our sickness for his healing.
Amen.
Our debt for his riches.
Exactly. Yes. Amen. So there's so much to learn when it comes to our finances. We're going to talk about it one more week and probably switch gears then on Celebration Sunday, which is 2 weeks from today. And but we've got a little bit more we want to wrap up on this giving. It's so important that people get this down on the inside of you. I encourage you to go back to our other shows this month. Because we've taught a lot in this subject, and some of you may not have tuned in or did not realize that the shows are now on our website. All of 2010 shows are on the website, and our website, which is www.beaconofhopeministries.com. It's got an IES on the end of it, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can go there and access this show tomorrow after about noon, and then they stay on till Jesus comes. They are on till Jesus comes.
And don't forget, Letters to Lori.
Exactly. Thank you, Bill. I was just going to say that. I appreciate your reminder. My newest book, my third book, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, are letters that I actually wrote my daughter this past year in 2010 after she was sentenced to prison for drug abuse and related activities. And she is doing so well. You can get a copy of that book through us. All you have to do is go to our website and, you know, send an email. You can just write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We'll send you a book. They are $13.50 on Amazon.com. You can get it from us, and we will pay the postage. So you can go to our website and write that, or just write me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and get a book, copy of that. We have donated to date 88 copies, but now we're sending more to prison tomorrow. And
praise
so
God.
Isn't that fantastic, Pastor Jim, because lives are being changed. I'm getting letters from people whose lives are being changed by Lori's story. And so we're excited about that. We want you to have that book. Give it to others. I had a call from actually my secretary at my new real estate office who told me this week that she sent the book to a friend upstate New York who has a son who has a problem with drug addiction. That's what we want you to do. Get the word out there. Get the books out there. We just sent some last week to an AA group up in Indiana. And so God is opening the doors
amazing.
For the book. It
amazing.
Is God. We're excited about what God is doing. My other two books are also on our website. MarciaMcAllister.com actually has my books there. So along with BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. So you can go either way. So anyway, we've really been having fun today with this topic. I mean, Pastor Jim, I am always amazed at how God takes, you know, we had a general idea where we were going. We had no idea how it was going to sort out. It is different, very different from this morning at church, even though it's the same general concepts, but it came out so differently. And so we invite you to tell a friend about our website, about the radio shows. Good way to introduce them to the ministry at Beacon
Amen.
Of Hope. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we want you to come for a service 11 o'clock Sunday mornings in our new location, 3700 Almerton Road. And that is right near the St. Pete Clearwater Airport. So 3700 Almerton Road. And we want you to join us Wednesday night Bible study.
I was going to say, and don't forget Wednesday
night.
Yeah,
what happens on Wednesday night, Pastor Jim?
Starting at 6:15, we have prayer meeting. We take prayer requests. We do some praying. We pray the word.
Yes, we do.
We do some general praying. And then at 7 o'clock, we have Bible study, which is always surprising.
We never know what's going to happen.
We never know quite what's going to happen.
Everybody participates.
But it's very interactive. Unlike, I mean, Sunday morning gets interactive also, but especially on Wednesdays.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
Everybody just kind of pipes up. And
sure
it's,
they just,
it's more of a discussion.
I love it.
So
this has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and Pastor Jim Ellsbury and our good, wonderful friend and partner, Connie Farmer, from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life Today. We invite you to communicate with us by email, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, by our prayer team, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, info@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can write an email and ask for information. Our webmaster, our wonderful webmaster, Maxine in Georgia, will respond to you. And that's a great way to find out about the ministry at Beacon of Hope. Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7, every Sunday live on this radio station, 1340 AM at 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock, Tampa Bay time. God bless you. Have a great week. And if you need prayer, write us, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. We're going to see you next week live at 4 o'clock.